their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado, this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And welcome back to another exciting episode. We promised an exciting episode.
We're going
to
try.
Of the Image Doctors.
We're going to give it a shot.
Oh, yes. Welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. And it's still winter, you know, it lasts forever up here and in Colorado mountains. But we started thinking about brainstorming ideas for, you know, where do we want to go shoot and, you know, fun things to do. But we thought we would share some of our favorite locations for photography and maybe a few that we'd like to go to in the future as well. And before we start, I mean, I guess we should point out that, you know, not everything has to be a crazy photo expedition somewhere. There's a lot of good places that are probably right around your backyard, even including your backyard, that can be good if you just take the right approach to them. So how do we want to start on this one, Rick?
It's a little bit of a rambling thing. So what we were thinking about doing is, since we're in the U.S. and a lot of our listeners are too, heard what the heck, we'll start there, but we're going to spread internationally too.
Cool.
So we'll do the U.S. ones first, just to have some semblance of organization. It's not really so much a preference. And one of the things is, when we put this list together, we also noticed that we had some overlap in locations. And so, where we both had pretty strong feelings about a place.
And then there's places that we've gone in the past that were, you know, rightfully great, but, you know, maybe the logistics are different now and we don't go as often. So, you know, I was just thinking about some off the top of my head here. So anyway, it's all good to think about. Now, one other thing.
You're going to make those locations secret then, huh?
Yes, double secret.
The ones that aren't as good anymore.
Yeah. But keep in mind that we both like landscapes. Mm-hmm. We both like travel. You've probably done more than I have, although I'm catching up. Mm-hmm. I probably lean more towards wildlife.
But I like it.
But you like, right. So we're
not radically different.
But we're not going out and shooting street photography anywhere really, or, you know, doing that kind of, or, you know, as much, or the
not,
people or
not
the,
often.
You know, so keep in mind these are like our favorite places, not necessarily yours. Mm-hmm. You want to go first?
So I guess that means this episode is all about us, huh?
It's very narcissistic.
we're not actually narcissists, I think.
I'm not.
But hopefully they're interesting locations. So the first one we had on the list, and this got the asterisk, which is the Oregon coast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, it's great.
Well, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's not a place you can just do in a day or even 2 days, depending on where you go. In fact, there's entirely different sections of the Oregon coast. There's the northern coast up by Astoria, Cannon Beach that you've probably heard of, the Sea Stacks, the central coast, Tillamook, you know, those areas where we did a workshop once based out of where we were in Newport, I think.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the southern Oregon coast, Bandon, which is just amazing.
Yeah. The Oregon coast is just nice. And as long as you stay away from the peak tourist season in the summer, it's nice. You have it to yourself. It's not crowded.
Right.
And it's gorgeous.
And I would say the fall is actually a great time to go there. Mm-hmm. The weather is a little less predictable, but it's not crowded. And if you're into sunsets, keep in mind that up in Oregon, sunset in July and August can be 10 o'clock at night. It can be pretty late. So anyway, it's a good place. Lovely location. And then, you know, similar to that is South Dakota in the Badlands. Obviously, I like the Badlands a lot because I go there. I've been going there now every year. This will be when I go back this summer, I've got a trip for August. Give me my 10th consecutive year.
Wow. And I haven't been there that many times. I've been there, I guess, a total of 3, but I think it's great.
But you were there with me last summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun. We you know, so I've got a workshop or landscape workshop there late August this year, which I actually have space for if anyone's interested. So, but it's fun. It's accessible. It's not typically crowded, especially the times that we shoot. You can shoot so many different ways there,
and you'll get interesting images.
Yeah, it's just so otherworldly. It's a bucket list. It ought to be a bucket list for you if you like landscapes.
Yep. And then both of us liked Chicago.
Oh, it's a great city.
I think it's an awesome city.
I think it's
so underrated.
It's so easy to shoot in Chicago. There's so much art, the architecture. You don't have buildings, at least in the loop, in the main part of downtown. You don't have the buildings right up to the shoreline like you do in New York City. So you can actually stand back and you can see the skyline from the parks. And you know, I just love it. The fountains are lit at night. Obviously, there's the Bean and the stuff that everybody mm-hmm. does. But early morning, late in the evening, it's less crowded. You know,
and it's just also an interesting city in other ways. Has great museums and just a lot of other things.
Food and all the stuff that you'd want.
Like I said, underrated.
Yeah, and what's nice about Chicago is it's got as a lot of some of the East Coast cities do. Not that Chicago's East Coast, but you know, it's got decent public transportation and trains, mm-hmm. so you can take a taxi to your hotel if you just stay downtown, and you don't need a rental car to get around.
Yeah,
in Chicago, similar to New York, which is another one that I like, obviously.
Just within the loop area, there's so many places you can walk to if you're staying there.
Yeah,
it's a piece of cake.
Did a workshop there a couple of years ago, and I think we took an Uber once or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was just to get somewhere farther.
Yeah. So, nice city.
Definitely.
Then you had the Great Sand Dunes, which are here in Colorado. Yeah,
it's a national park. Is it a national park?
It is a national park.
Yeah, it keeps getting... It got promoted, I think.
Yeah, it did.
It's a great place to visit. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, though.
It is.
You know, it's a good... I would say from here in Colorado Springs, where we're at, it's a 3.5 hour drive to get out there.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of places to stay right nearby.
God, no.
There is one lodge that has limited space that's on the, or just outside the entrance to the park, which is the best place to stay, but it books up so fast.
Yeah.
Now, what I like about the sand dunes, you're not going to spend 3 days there, but it's a good place for, you know, an overnight or 2 days. They're just huge.
Yeah. You do have to be prepared to go out there and walk through the sand slowly.
And if you're there in the summer, the mosquitoes can be absolutely insane because there's water that comes through there and they will destroy you if you don't have mosquito repellent.
Yeah.
But it's a cool place. It's also great for night photography because it's very dark out there. It's in the middle of nowhere, right? So you don't have the city lights from Denver and the Colorado Front Range to pollute the skies. It's fantastic.
At a couple locations that are close by where we live.
Yeah.
Manitou Springs and Garden of the Gods. And Garden of the Gods is a city park here in Colorado Springs.
And we've done stuff there a lot. It's kind of like one of our little go-to, hey, you want to shoot?
Yeah.
It's a sunrise location, as most things on the Rocky Mountain Front Range are.
Yep.
Don't do sunsets, although sometimes they happen.
And Manitou's a little touristy town immediately adjacent to Colorado Springs, kind of tucked right in the first set of foothills. And it's got nice old-time touristy things.
Well, it's like Victorian. So it's got a lot of Victorian architecture, which is cool. And then kitschy touristy things.
And we might be doing a workshop there soon.
Oh, cool. That sounds fun.
More to come on that.
Yeah. Okay. I've done photo walks there, and it's a fun place to go with a camera and just... look around for details and fun things.
Yeah, and I think we've got a cool idea on that one.
Great.
More to come on that.
Now, just loop back to Garden of the Gods. That's one of those places that it's not as fun to shoot in anymore as it used to be, unfortunately. And it's just due to overcrowding and people. It used to be open all the time. Now it closes. There's gated off. Some of the trails that were the most popular places to go.
The ones that where we would take people from out of town there.
We can't go there anymore. Nope. So it's still a fantastic place. And if you do come to Colorado Springs, you definitely want to go there.
But be prepared for crowds, especially in the summer.
Exactly.
Next one, both of us checked, New York City.
Yeah.
And awesome city.
For all of the same reasons. I love shooting the architecture, of course, the street stuff. But I also love shooting infrared there in Central Park and other places. I'll get beat up, but I love shooting the Flatiron Building at night. I mean, it's just such an iconic thing.
Yeah.
Twilight, blue hour. It's really great. As with all big cities, you have to sort of, you know, keep an eye on your stuff, make sure that...
But it's a safe city.
But it really is. And again, public transportation. I no hesitation taking the subway anywhere.
Yeah.
Including with clients.
Yeah. I think New York is awesome.
It really is. Brooklyn Bridge Park. Absolutely put it on your list to shoot the skyline at night. It's a great spot.
Yep. And then so many other non-photographic things to do. It's right. Wonderful.
So what other places do we have that
well,
are still
in one the that US? I have not been to yet, that but you have, and it's certainly on my list for the future. Oh, wait, we're not still, done with
yeah,
US.
We got a couple on the... Yeah, we were brainstorming here. Yeah. So let's talk about Utah briefly, because that's our neighbor to the west here, our you know, adjacent to Colorado here. And we both love it. But another place that's getting a little bit crazy.
Especially one place. Well, maybe two places. Yeah. Maybe three.
Well, it's very popular. And for all the right reasons. I mean, it's gorgeous out there. Yeah. And it's a unique territory. It's a unique country that, especially if you're from the, you know, if you're from Europe or you're from the East Coast of the U.S. and you're used to green sort of deciduous forests, coming out here into red rocks and rock formations that are crazy.
It's like being on Mars.
But it's just so grandiose. It's amazing. It's hard to get tired of it. So Moab is one area. It's completely getting crowded.
Yeah,
it's
especially Arches.
Yeah, Arches National and Park. Canyonlands.
Canyonlands not so bad in general.
Right.
With the exception of Mesa Arch, which just gets overrun. A ridiculous number of people in the morning.
You got to be there at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of other national parks that get busy at times, Bryce Canyon definitely gets busy. Zion gets busy. The other ones, not so much. Like Capitol Reef, that can be, you know, glorious and almost no one there. And some of the other areas, especially state parks too. Goblin Valley.
Goblin Valley State Park for night is amazing. You'll need a camping permit or an overnight permit if you want to be there after 10 p.m. Dead Horse Point State Park.
Yeah. It's popular, but it's because of how it's laid out, you don't really run into problems.
No, it's pretty good. So, and I guess sort of as a mention, you know,
and for people who aren't familiar with Dead Horse Point State Park, if you saw Thelma and Louise a long time ago, that's where they drove off in the car together. it was there.
It's not at the place that you stand, but there's another overlook below where that they shot it from. But I think this is a good point to mention to not overlook local and state parks as locations, because many of them are very good and they are lesser known. And so they'll just not always have the crowds that you'll get at, say, going to a Yellowstone or a Yosemite or what. I mean, and those are wonderful places. I mean,
just be careful when you go.
But they can be really, really crowded and traffic and just, you know, you can be fighting for tripod space at some of these places.
Yeah. So the last place within the U.S. that we had down, and I think it's one that both of us would rate highly, as Death Valley National Park.
Yeah, that's another great one.
Yeah.
It's got dunes, it's got rock formations.
And it's so big that you don't have the problem running into other photographers as much.
Right, and it's a little more out of the way.
Yeah.
You have to make an effort. I mean, like if you go to, I think when we went that one time, we flew into Las Vegas, and then you still have a couple hour drive to get to Death Valley. So it's not just something that you do popping over there for a day. You know, it's like... Yeah. Kind of thing.
I've been there 3 times now, and I enjoy it every time.
Now, a couple of things I'll just throw in before we move on for wildlife stuff. Wildlife is it's tough because, you know, there's a luck factor involved. My favorite place for shooting birds was when I was going down to South Texas and private ranch land there. The place that I was shooting at is it's closed. The owner, fair enough, decided to retire, and I cannot fault him for that. But that was, and we both shot there
I shot there a couple of times.
Yeah, and it was like we were saying, it was my happy place to be in a blind, have all these birds and wildlife coming around there, and be able to photograph.
Actually, I guess I was there three times. Yeah, it was glorious.
I can't think of anything more fun for me. I mean, I do like going to Florida, like Everglades, but those places due to climate change, and I'm saying it, due to climate change and some other things too, Florida and overdevelopment, Florida birding isn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but it's not what it used to be. It is not as reliable as it used to be. Some of the areas on the Space Coast, they've been hit by hurricane. You know, there's been stuff. So there's been a lot of stuff going on in Florida. The water levels have changed. And I like actually going to La Jolla, San Diego. In fact, I'm going there for a workshop. And so even though it's sort of an urban setting, it's really easy to photograph wildlife there. And for someone who's looking for a place to photograph wildlife, you want it to be reliable and you want it to be close.
And that's a very nice area.
It's too. A great place. And you can stand on the sidewalk and take pictures of sea lions right up.
Right.
In fact, you could almost step on them. I don't recommend that. That's illegal. So anyway, I mean, just put those things out there. There's great places for wildlife, of course. But for those of you who are looking for wildlife places, keep in mind, especially for birds, a lot of the places that say this is a birding area aren't really good for photography. You will be too far away from the birds to really do it. So you might see a huge, a flock of waterfowl on a lake, but they'll be 1,000 yards out. You know, they're just little specks. And so it's birders with spotting scopes, which is very different.
Very different.
Now, internationally, there's a million places, and we say internationally for us because we're in the U.S., right? But we made a list.
You put Ireland on it. I've not been there. I would like to go there.
Yeah, I've been to Ireland twice. I'm hoping to go back with clients this September. If you're interested, check out my website. I have space. Gosh, it's a great place. So green. Friendly people. Obviously, they all speak English. Not a problem for me. I could go back there every year. Ruins, old architecture, castles, and man, if you have an infrared camera, that should be on your list of places to go. It's fantastic.
Yep. I put Portugal on the list. I've only been there once, and it was centered mainly in the Lisbon area with day trips out of it, ways. I thought it was just great. Loved it. Very pretty, very interesting, very nice, very affordable compared to other portions of Europe. And, my wife and I are actually going to go back there with a group of friends next year.
That sounds great.
In like March.
Very cool.
We're going
to probably a great time to go too because it's not peak season.
Yeah, we'll get up a little bit further north in the country. But I recommend Portugal. I think it's underrated. And the next I had on the list is a trip I'm taking in September.
Oh, cool.
To Peru.
So this is on your list, but you have not
this
been.
This is a bucket list item, but I've not awesome. Been to Peru before.
So, yeah, and I've had a lot of clients who've told me they've loved going to Peru. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the obvious stuff like Machu Picchu and things, but just colorful cultures, people, interesting country.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm looking forward to it. And then a place we both had down with the Galapagos Islands off of Ecuador.
Gosh. Yeah, if you like wildlife and you want a bucket list,
it's pretty.
This should
pretty
be
cool.
At the top of it.
Yeah.
Frankly, you can do it. It's not inexpensive to go. You can do it different ways. If I were going, I would recommend getting in with the on one of the cruise, one of the motor yacht cruises.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different sizes. You don't have to do the big, giant boats. I would do one of the smaller ones. That's how I led my group down there in 2019.
Yeah. And the one I was on about 10 years before that was similar sized, and I would have the same recommendation.
And the reason why I say that is because each boat gets about the same amount of time on each island because it's very controlled. And so if your boat only has, 20 people on it, you get all that time. If your boat has 120 people on it, you're getting significantly less time ashore.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my gosh, talk about, I was joking, you could walk up to the bird and hand him your business card and ask him permission to take their photograph. It's that great. Plus, if you're on a boat, you can do the snorkeling. I think we both did that.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would swim in the direction of hammerhead sharks. But when my guide said there's hammerheads over here, and we all went over to, I thought that was cognitive dissonance. I should be going the other way. Mm-hmm. No, it was really great. And penguins and oh man, it was just awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Can't say enough good things about it.
No, it's a nice place. And then we both had Iceland, but with a question mark.
Yeah,
Iceland. Meaning we want to go there.
Yeah.
But it's, from everything we hear, it's just getting too loved. And it's been expensive at times.
Yeah, I mean, Iceland's a cool, amazing destination. But sometimes I ask myself the question, and if you've seen the photos of Iceland, I know you've probably seen them. They're amazing, depending on what time of year you go, but there's the amazing waterfalls. It's volcanic. There's the there's some wildlife there. There's little village, you know, fishing villages. It's just photographically amazing. At the same time, I kind of ask myself, well, what do I need to have the same picture of the same waterfall that everybody else has from Iceland?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reasonable question. And sometimes the answer is yes, because it's your mm-hmm. picture of that same thing, mm-hmm. right? But it has gotten a little bit too much love in the last, say, 10 years,
and that's,
5 years.
And that's why we put the question mark on it. We're just not quite sure.
But if you do want to go,
on our bucket list or not.
If you do want to go to Iceland again, you want to get in with someone who does their tours the right way, you know, because there's places that the photo guides can get you there that you wouldn't be able to do necessarily on your own.
Yeah.
So check it out. I know my buddy Tony Sweet takes a group there, and mm-hmm. he's got a pretty good setup because he works with a tour provider who's got
local.
Local. I mean, and they have it hooked up for that.
Yeah,
but you'll spend a little more, but it's worth it.
Yep.
And then what's the last one that you have on there, Rick?
I had India. Down.
Oh, cool. Yes.
Yeah. Photographically, it's fantastic. I mean, the colors and the culture and the history, it makes for a really interesting location. It's a little bit intense. It's not for every traveler, that's for sure. It's got some rough edges, especially in places, but people are extraordinarily nice. And everywhere you look, it looks like something in a National Geographic magazine. That's the best way I could describe it. Just pick a direction, look there. It looks like a National Geographic magazine.
Great.
So it's a cool place.
All right. Well, that's,
not for everyone.
No. And you know, it's far. Although once you get there, I think it's pretty affordable. Mm-hmm. It's getting there that's significant. Now I'll shameless self-promotion, but I just came out with, I just got dates booked to do 2 European city workshops, travel photography workshops in 2021. In April of 21, I'm going to be bringing clients to, we're going to go to, I hope to be bringing clients to, let's put it that way. We're going to do Prague and Vienna. So we'll start in Prague, take the train to Vienna. And those cities are just so amazing with culture and history and architecture and just really great. So we'll be spending our time in the cities doing walking tours and learning about lots of ways to do visual storytelling and creative post-processing and, you know, get good at composition and exposure.
And when is that again?
April of 2021.
Okay, that should be
good. It's going to be a one-week trip.
Yeah, those are awesome cities.
Yeah, and again, it's in that shoulder season, so it should be a little less expensive to go there. I've tried my best to keep the pricing reasonable. And then in September of 2021, I've lined up a trip to go back to a great city, which is Amsterdam.
Mm.
I went there in 2018. Obviously, in the fall, we won't have the tulips, but the architecture, the culture, the canals, which is really great. So you can do these wonderful long exposures of the boats coming through the canals. And then we're going to take the train over to Bruges, Belgium,
mm-hmm.
for a couple nights. And another canaled city.
Right.
Again, great architecture. Not to mention good chocolate, good beer, and all the stuff you want to eat along the way. So that's going to be fun. And that's in September. So if anyone's interested in going, and these are small. I'm not taking more than 8 people. That's like my cap. So these are small trips. If you're interested in that, send me a note or check out my website for more details, luminescentphoto.com.
Yeah, and I've been to all those cities that you just mentioned, and they are great.
You may have given me some inspiration.
I didn't want to come out and say that I told you you should take groups there, but I did.
Well, they were kind of on my list, but yes, they're, you know, it doesn't hurt to get a little a photographic affirmation once in a while. Yeah,
they're good.
So if you want to tell us what your favorite spots are, and don't forget your local stuff. I mean,
we've left off a lot of good places. Oh, yeah, gosh,
this is just some of the things that we've been and like to go to. You know, drop us a note over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors, and we'd love to hear from you. Anything else on today's topics? Because we could go on for another 30 minutes if we wanted to.
I don't think we will, though. I think that's good.
All right. Awesome. Well, until next time, we'll sign off and happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.